This week's episode of the Celtics Talk podcast is brought to you by Cumberland Farms. Two for $4 breakfast sandwiches are happening now at Cumberland Farms. Stop in today and enjoy your favorites. Offer valid on any two $2.39 breakfast sandwiches plus applicable tax. What's happening, everyone? This is the Celtics Talk podcast. Kyle Draper, A. Sherrod Blakely, Chris Forsberg. What's up, fellas?
Drapes, you know, if you go in and buy four, it's still like four for $8. So I could load up
so
in
you
the morning.
Go, oh, really?
Yeah. So, I mean, just any exponential of it, I'd load up.
No, you got me doing math now, though. I got to pull out the calculator, carry the one.
We don't want Drapes to do math.
Come on, man.
That's just pain. You can see the smoke already coming out of his ears.
You're right. Now. Hey, let's talk about the Celtics, man. That's what we're here to do. Not make fun of each other, not crack on each other. Plenty of time to do that, Sherrod.
Oh, I know.
2-1 road trip. Big win, I felt like, against New Orleans, at New Orleans, Sherrod. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're the best they've played in a long time. Because even the Toronto win, big win, they didn't play that great. Kyrie just went off in that game down the stretch.
It was the most complete game I think they've had this year as far as being effective at both ends of the floor. And, you know, you got to just – when you're dealing with a guy like Anthony Davis, you know he's going to get anything and everything he wants. So you just want to try to minimize the impact of those guys around him. And I thought the Celtics did a good job of that. I thought they were aggressive. I thought they were consistent. And they did – they looked like the team that we thought we would see more of this year.
Drapes, my favorite part was that two nights earlier after that disappointing loss in Dallas, Marcus Smart comes out and says, we don't look anything like the team that we were last year. We don't try to impose our will on teams. And not only does he get thrown into the starting lineup, but Brad plays him 40 minutes.
Wow.
The first guy this season to play 40 minutes on a non-overtime game. Only the fifth time in the past three seasons they've run somebody that long. And I think it was a message to the team. Like, listen, this is a guy out here who has consistently, every single night, gone out and given you everything. And that's what we're lacking right now. And so I think it was clear the energy difference at the start of that game. They had that little steal and went coast to coast for the kind of Capitano run. Just things are different when Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris, like, who's sort of been forgotten in this whole thing, are out there on the court. And now we'll see how long Brad will ride it, right? You know, there's a lot of clamoring to keep Marcus Smart in the starting lineup, and you know, understandably so. It's going to be fascinating to see how long Brad's willing to go with that.
I thought the most telling part about that game was the fact that when the fourth quarter rolled around, there was only one guy who played every single second of the fourth quarter for the Boston Celtics, and that was Marcus Smart. And when you look at his numbers in the fourth quarter, it wasn't like he was scoring a ton of points. His presence seemed to elevate them at both ends of the floor. And, yeah, Marcus Smart is not the greatest shooter in the world. And I think I'm being very kind when I say that. But he does have the ability to make plays, and his presence does a lot, far more good than bad when he's out there on the floor. And that, I think, is why if you're Brad Stevens, you better think long and hard about taking him out of that lineup, because I'm telling you now, that's a very different team, a very effective team with this starting five out there. And it was not just a one-game-only thing.
The lineup has been good, but then...
But what? Isn't that what you want, a good lineup?
You got Jaylen Brown, then you're going to have coming off the bench. Gordon Hayward coming off the bench. And so...
You act like that's a bad thing.
No, but and Brad's concern is Marcus Smart is that game-changer kind of dude. So if that starting unit doesn't work, who do you turn to actually come in and impact the game in a way that Marcus Smart did?
So then you go back to having him come off the bench, and then you get off the slow starts and hoping that when he comes in the game, he can do what he did as a starter.
Well, that's you got to see. And Friday against Cleveland is not a litmus test.
No.
I don't care what happens Friday against Cleveland.
Drapes,
we cannot draw any kind of, deduce any kind of thing out of that.
But, Drapes, here's the thing you got to remember. The New Orleans game? That was the first time Marcus Smart has started this year. Yep. So they've gone with that blueprint of, we'll just see what the starters can do, and then we'll bring in Marcus at the six-minute mark, and then he can change it around. And that wasn't working. And yet when you made the flip, it worked exceptionally well. And then when you look at the data, you realize, oh, crap, this starting five, this five-man group actually plays well together almost every time they're on the floor. I don't understand how you would deviate from that unless you're playing a team that has two significant, like 6'10", 6'11", forward center types where maybe you throw Baines in there and do something along those lines. But if you're playing a...
So you're willing to sell out the starting lineup that, you know, the first 20 games or whatever it was after one game. Is that what you're telling me?
This is what I'm telling you. I'm telling you right now, they've got a five starting five that works and works well. I'm putting more pressure and more onus on that second unit to get their act together. Gordon, I want to see you step your game up. Brown, I want to see you do your thing. Baines, keep doing what you do. I think that second unit, even without the Marcuses, can be an effective group because, again, it's not like you've got busters on that bench. Gordon can play. Jalen can play. We've seen that before. Come on now.
Here's the thing. I think by March and April, they'll be back to the lineup we saw at the start of the year. But right now, they clearly need something. And so, you know, whether they could have got that same spark from putting anybody else in there, I don't know. I do think what this trip showed is not having Allen Atlanta on the start there and then the finish in New Orleans, not having Jalen, is that first unit probably needed someone who doesn't need the ball in his hands at all times. And Marcus gives you, obviously, the benefit, too, of playmaking. Kyrie looked really good playing off the ball.
Yep, he did.
So I think that if Brad was resistant to try different lineups, I think he's seeing, like, you throw a low-usage guy out there, all of a sudden, you know, that allows Jason Tatum to be more aggressive. It allows, you know, Al and Kyrie to feel like they can be aggressive at times and when they need to. So I do think it's a good mix right now. It really will be fascinating to see how it shifts. Like, once Jalen's healthy with his back again, you know, do you bring him back? Gordon and Jalen have not played well together. And so it didn't work on the starting unit. It's hard to say it would work on the second unit. So, you know, one of those guys probably has to come back to the first unit eventually. Again, I think the long-term plan is that lineup that they started the year with is your lineup, because it's so different. It's so many offensive creators. I think they eventually go back to it. But for right now, Marcus Smart is giving you something. You ride it.
You know, it feels like here we are 21 games in, but that one win in New Orleans has changed the entire mood around the organization. Why do you think that is?
Well, because that has been, frankly, I think the only game where we saw them play the way we anticipated seeing them play throughout this season. They were great defensively. They were active. They were engaged. They were getting contributions from lots of different guys. Their role players played at a relatively high level, and they played a team that was really good at home. I think New Orleans was like 8-1 or 9-1 at home.
Yeah.
So they were playing against a team that was in a very comfortable position to be successful against the Celtics, and Boston went in there and just handled their business.
It's going to be fun if someone's listening to this on like Saturday of this week and has the benefit of knowing what's going to happen in the Cleveland game, because if they go out and lay an egg, they're all going to be sitting here saying, "Oh,
right,
these guys talked up this lineup for 3 days and enjoyed all this one good effort."
Sherrod's gone all in. I mean, he's all in.
That's because I'm going by the eye test and I'm going by the stat sheet.
And to be fair, like, nothing the Celtics have done this season has been consistent, so I don't know why we think it's necessarily going to translate to future games. But just like Sherrod said, it was the one time this year you felt like they looked as close to themselves as we sort of anticipated. And Gordon has looked good in that bench role. Seems more comfortable. Listen, tougher decisions are down the road, but the goal here has to be just to get everybody playing with confidence. And then you figure out where the parts essentially all lock into their place eventually. But, you know, they've got to build off it. But it has been. You can definitely feel the different mood. I asked Marcus Morris about it yesterday. He was like, "We're just confident now. We feel good about this. Like, we saw how we have to start games. We figured out what we need to do better to fix what ails us." And they really seem to think it's just something at the start of games and better setting the tone and hitting guys in the mouth.
You know, and I'm looking at the schedule, and Chris, you pointed this out a couple weeks ago, maybe, or last week, that the schedule was going to get easier for the Celtics. Here we are. You got a Cleveland team coming in. That's not that good. They have some impressive wins, nice wins for Cleveland. But then they got a back-to-back in Minnesota, a Minnesota team that's playing so well. So I think, you know, this next week of games, you know, then you got the Knicks in there. You got Chicago in there also. I think we'll find out something, because this is the time that the Celtics can bank up some wins. And, you know, we talked before. To me, it wasn't about necessarily how they're playing. It's about wins and losses
right now. Yeah.
Because Toronto...
No style points right now, Greg.
Yeah, you just got to get wins. I don't care how you get them. Right now, they're seventh in the East. I'm talking about the Celtics. You got to get wins now.
Get some wins and, you know, all right. So after maybe two or three wins, you start saying, all right, like, are we building towards the right direction? Are they building good habits? Are they more consistent than we've seen? But certainly, you take them any way you can get them now. And, you know, one of the really encouraging things about that New Orleans game was there was as close to 48 minutes. They still haven't gotten to 48. They're probably still at like 43, right, 42. Right. But they're inching closer. It's not 24 or 12 or whatever else they've had this season. So, yeah, like, you got to take advantage of these parts of the schedule because, fair or not, they're a chance to get momentum. And again, wins are wins are wins right now. If you want to say in March that an ugly win over the Bulls or something like that doesn't have great value, I'll buy it. But right now, go get them.
They have to be more together, and I think we saw that.
And how do you do that? Wins, right? I think wins helps that, right?
Wins helps everything. Togetherness, food tastes better, drinks go down better. Everything in life is better when you win. But they have to, and you know, Al Horford and I, we talked about this after the New Orleans game. They were so much more connected against New Orleans at both ends of the floor. And Gordon, you know, I just talked to him a little while ago. He mentioned the same thing, that being connected, they were so much better at that. And if you're going to win and you've got the kind of talent that they have, you have to be on the same page, because I think that was one of the issues with the starting five. You know, you've got basically five. If you take Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris out and you throw Jalen and Gordon back in there, you got five guys who can go off for 20, 25 right. points any night. And while on video games, that's great, in the real world, that's probably a little too much firepower with that first unit. And, you know, had a talk with Kendrick Perkins about this the other night. And one of the things he pointed out about their, you know, that 08 team was, you know, you had him and you had Rondo, along with the three Hall of Famers. Right. They had very specific roles. Kendrick, you bang, you get some rebounds, you kick it to me, Paul Pierce. Rondo, you get the rock, Paul, KG, look for your boy Ray every now and then. They knew what they had to do. But on this team, if you're Jaylen Brown, I mean, you got a matchup that you think you can take. But, yeah, Kyrie's open. But I think I can take this. What you going to do? If you're Gordon, yeah, I got a wide open three, but I think I'm a driving kick instead. I mean, I think they needed a better division of talent with that starting five, where you've got guys that are elite, high-scoring types with guys who are role players. And I think that's why this group with the two Marcuses works.
All right, man. We got more with these guys coming up in a minute. We're also going to hear from Gordon Hayward. Sherrod, I know you had a chance to chat with him one-on-one. But first, let's dive into our interview with Robert Williams III.
A.K.A. Time Lord. The Time Lord.
Robert, thanks for coming on the Celtics Talk podcast, man. How are you?
No problem, man. I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm good, man. Nice little win on the road out there in New Orleans. Just sum up this season for yourself so far.
Definitely just a humbling experience for me, in the most part. Just watching the guys out there work and also cheering them on and knowing that time tells all. You know what I'm saying? So, Just hoping we get this Celtic pride, put the Celtic fear back in people. That's really been our struggle this season thus far. So I feel like me just taking on the energy role, you know what I'm saying, the smiling role, the jokes, you know, I try to bring it all to the team, man. Tell them loosen up a little bit, you know what I'm saying? It's a job, it's a game. You know, you need to have fun with it.
So you haven't missed this year. 5 for 5, all dunks. Is this sustainable?
I actually didn't know that.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah. Breaking news right there.
Yeah, I actually didn't know that. Hey, keep it that way.
right. Keep it going, right?
Keep it that way.
So you did get off on the wrong foot in Boston.
Yeah.
But by all accounts, that might have helped you sort of get on the right track here.
Yeah. I feel like it definitely wasn't an eye-opener. Because after, you know, the incident with the flights or whatever, the wallet, Brad just sent me down and really, really explained the concept that this is, like I said, a job, you know, and this isn't college. It isn't, you know what I'm saying, second chances. It's a million people out there that can jump. You feel me? So that just kind of turned my whole mindset around about the situation.
You know, Brad told me one of the things he likes about you. You keep that even keel personality. You don't ride the wave, the roller coaster. Some nights you might not play, some nights you will play. How important is it for you to keep that right mindset? You know, when some nights your number might not get called.
I mean, it's a game plan, man. You know, some nights you may need a longer person to defend. Some nights you know what I'm saying, you may need heavier people. You need some people that adapt to the game more. So that's just, like I said, time will tell. I was just waiting on my calling. And it's just about winning, man. It honestly doesn't matter who's on the court, because when you win, when a team wins, everybody wins. So just celebrating that all around and bringing the joy back. That's why I try to keep, you know what I'm saying, the levelness, man. I'm trying to bring the joy back to everyone.
Do you realize how much Celtics Twitter and fans have embraced you?
I've been seeing some Time Lord stuff. So, I don't know.
Listen, I was going to get there.
We didn't do that. That's not us, man.
No, I don't know. I don't know where it came from, man, but they're going crazy with it, so.
Well, even the team has now, their team Twitter account put out a little, the clock with the crown.
Yeah.
So, like, referencing the Time Lord. Are you going to be able to embrace this? Are you still fighting it a little bit? Like, where are we at with Time Lord?
I'm embracing it, man. I don't see a problem with it.
Right.
I'm embracing it, definitely.
You don't know, but the backstory, like, escapes you, right? Like, I think someone tried to explain it to you, right, about, like, how someone came up, the whole time incident, and.
Yeah, it was a. I ain't get into that, but I don't even want to get into that. But I embrace it though. Definitely, you got to be able to joke with yourself about your mistakes. But all in all, learn from them.
Yeah.
So I feel like once I learn from that, moving on from that, I can joke about it. And if you can't joke with yourself, there's no getting better.
Now Terry Rozier says you and Gershon are like controllers of the music. You know, you guys, they turn to you young cats for the music. What are you playing inside the locker room to get everybody hyped?
Man, I play, you know, a little Kodak, NBA Youngboy, maybe some Future. You know, just whatever mood we feeling. But I try to play like a killer type song, you know what I'm saying? Right. A deep vibe, you know, a dark vibe, just to get people's mentality going, because I know that's what it does for me.
What kind of mentality? Are we talking to angry? I'm about to kick some, you know.
I'm talking about like some just go get it grind type music, like knowing that everything isn't promised, you know what I'm saying? Like we here to make a statement, and I feel like That's the mentality some music can give you, and I know we've been lacking that toughness, so I try to, you know, incorporate that into the team.
What have Ricky Chores been like, and who is the biggest abuser of your services?
Ricky Chores actually hasn't been bad at all. They haven't popcorn my car yet. it's just I have to get soap for all the away games.
All right.
Just got to get the towels and stuff, but other than that, it's not that bad. You know, the guys real cool on me. A couple times, shoot around, I kick the ball up and stands or something, just say Rook. You know what I'm saying, Rook? I get it, but nah, it's all love though.
Do you have to get like specific brands of soap, like
Dove, the bottle though,
all
not
right.
the
all
not,
right,
not
right.
the bar, the bottle Dove.
That's not bad.
You can't get the generic kind, and now you got to be.
Who's
the vet though? That's asking you to do that? Is it Kyrie? Is it? I can't see Al doing that, man.
No, they just let me know. Actually, Shimmy did when I got here. He let me know. He was like, "Well, look, I got soap last year, so you got."
Oh, Shimmy!
Wow,
I got soap last year, so you got to get the soap this year. So hey, I'm cool with it. It could be way worse.
Yeah,
it could be way worse.
What is it like in that locker room? We heard about Marcus kind of giving it to you guys in Portland at the end of that trip. Like, who are the vocal voices, and who are the guys that are loudest in there and keeping you guys all in line?
I feel like it's not just one voice. You know what I'm saying? I feel like we do it, but we need to step up and do it more, as much as stepping up and disciplining each other as a team. You know, but you also got guys like, you know what I'm saying, Al and Kyrie, who may. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Lead by example. And they think we don't see it, but we see it. We follow, you know, everything they're doing. So it's guys leading in all types of ways. But Marcus is definitely the most vocal leader.
You a big college football fan at all?
A little bit, man. I get into it a little bit.
Didn't Texas A&M and LSU just had that major battle 7? Tell me about that. Who were you pulling for in that one?
Man, 7 OTs. I had to pull for the team, school I went to, okay. A&M. Yeah, I got a couple homeboys, you know, that play for LSU football or whatever, but I ain't go there, so.
Right. You go, yeah, you root for where you went, right?
So, yeah, I had the root for A&M, and I actually, like, Like, it surprised me, man. I'm proud of my boys.
You ain't expect them to win that one.
I ain't expect the 7 OTs. That surprised me, but I'm proud of my boys. They made a big jump.
What was it like getting to go back home for that game in New Orleans?
It was colder than I expected out there, actually. I don't remember it being that cold, that chilly out there, but it was just good seeing familiar faces and getting to eat, bro. Oh, my goodness.
Now, what's the go-to restaurant in New Orleans? Because some people took me, I can't even remember the name. Sherrod, what's the name? Conchon or something like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was okay. But where would you take me out there?
I don't even, honestly, I'll just take you to my aunt's house or something like that, man. Right. I got to have a home-cooked meal. And so when I see my people down there, they just cook for me. So.
Okay.
So one quick follow-up. When Brad sits you down, like, does he yell? Is it mad Brad? Or do we get, like, I'm disappointed, Brad?
You always get, you better listen, Brad. And it's not that he's telling you, you better listen. It's just that any and everything that he's going to say to you is vital.
What's next for Robert Williams III this season?
Like I said, man, just bringing energy, man. We trying to get this banner, you know, whatever I got to do to excel personally and for the team, you know, that's what I'm on here for.
All right, my man. Thanks for coming on the podcast, bro. We got to do it again.
Of course. I like this, bro.
I know, right? Yeah, we could definitely chop it up. Robert Williams III, thanks so much, bro.
Appreciate it.
Robert Williams III right there on the Celtics Talk podcast.
And Time Lord.
Embracing the Time
he
Lord.
He embraced it. He was cool with it.
It's about time,
you know,
man.
And afterwards, he said, you know what? He's like, I love doing these podcasts, man. So we got to get him on every single
week. We're going to make that happen. We'll even get some theme music for Time Lord. Right? We'll work on some theme music. Get some T-shirts going. Hey, look, don't get me started.
You and your T-shirts, man. Y'all all about the T-shirts and marketing.
Talk about the pot calling the kettle black, Mr.
I know, right?
Jaylen Brown, the poet.
I know. That's still a great T-shirt. But I will say, for only a handful of minutes, Robert Williams has looked good
when
he's
been
out there.
Has he missed a shot yet?
Nope.
Just checking.
We probably jinxed him now. He's definitely going to go out the back room and dunk next.
Well, he's got some room to throw up a few bricks right now.
But, you know, and it's funny. Like, listen, we romanticize every rookie that comes through, and especially until we see him in longer samples. But it is neat to throw Robert Williams out there, and he's just so different than anything we've seen on the Celtics in probably seasons. So you can throw a lob up there, and he goes up, and he gets it, and he finishes it. And he finishes it loud, and Jabu falls off the bench in celebration. And it's, like, really neat to watch. But he's just such a happy kid. You know, you talked about it there so much. I just want to bring positivity in, you know, whether it's the music or just cheering on the sideline. Like, that's really cool for a rookie to embrace his situation and understand that, listen, his minutes are going to be limited. He's going to try to make the most when he's out there. But he's had some really good moments, whether it's the putbacks or, you know, catching a rebound, going back up strong. I think fans are eager to see more. But little doses aren't such a bad thing right now.
No, particularly when he's a guy that you don't necessarily have to count on to give you anything right now. I mean, there's literally no pressure when he gets out there. And he still finds a way to make a strong impression. When you think about some of the other, you know, late round picks that they've brought through here, Fab Melo comes to mind. This guy is so different in a good way. He has a different kind of athleticism that we have not seen before. And the Celtics are wise in just gradually bringing that along. But I don't think I would be all that surprised if we're looking at near the end of the season where he, if they're going like 10 deep, he might be in that 10 deep because of that sheer athleticism and ability to give you a nice little something and just moments here and there. And we talked earlier about just not having energy guys. When you got a guy that big who can grab a rebound, put it back on your head if you a 7-footer, and he could put your stuff 7 rows back if you come in with a weak layup attempt. Those are the kind of guys, those are the kind of plays that gets the players, get the fans fired up, and to have a guy that's basically your 13th, 14th man with that ability, you're doing all right.
And one more thing on Williams that I think is really important is it's been wild to see how positively he turned a bad situation at the start of his tenure here, and from the conference call to missing the first practice, and, you know, talking to a lot of the front office guys, they say, you know, that put him on a path where he has embraced everything, that he's here early working out, and again, that just, you know, it makes you wonder, would it have played out differently if, you know, he had been on time? Like, when would he have learned that lesson? When would Brad Stevens have sat him down and got him on the right path? And listen, Brad said a couple weeks ago, I think there is a chance that, like, in an ultimate moment that Robert Williams could be on the floor, which means he's got enough confidence that he will develop as a rookie, that he could throw him in there in a pressure playoff situation and feel comfortable that he'll make the right
yeah,
play.
Yeah, and Brad, I think, thinks that Robert Williams, you know, we know about his dunks, but defensively,
yeah,
his ability to change the game and help out defensively down the stretch is going to be key for the young fella.
Yeah, two-time defensive player of the year in college in just two seasons in college. Right. I think that says a lot about where he's at that end of the floor.
All right, let's get into Sherrod's interview now with Gordon Hayward. Hayward sacrificing himself, coming off the bench. Sherrod, let's get into your interview.
Obviously, you have expectations for where you like to be. Where are you from a physical basketball playing standpoint right now?
Physically, I feel decent. I mean, I think still not where I want to be, but for the most part, my ankle feels strong out there, which is good. You know, I think there's still some explosiveness that's left that I haven't gotten back yet, but some of that just is time. Like, that's just is, it's just going to take time and reps and being out on the court just doing it. So.
Right. And one thing I think a lot of people don't, I think, appreciate is that this really is kind of like your first year with these guys. So you're still kind of learning their tendencies and what works for them and vice versa. How has that process gone for you so far?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's essentially like a new system, playing with new teammates, along with coming back from injury. So, I mean, it's something that it's going to be a process. I think trying to, you know, watch film with guys, watch film with coach, more than anything, just being out on the court is the most helpful thing, getting some experience. So, you know, I think it's gotten better for sure, but not where I want it to be.
How have things changed for you coming off the bench as opposed to starting, as far as what your role is when you step out on the floor?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have to make sure that I'm aggressive. I want to get to the free throw line more. It's something I haven't been doing. But being a playmaker, finding my teammates, I think also finding more shots for myself will open it up for other people. But making sure that I stay aggressive.
How much of a challenge is that? I mean, to balance looking for your own shots but also getting your teammates involved? Because it seems so far you've kind of leaned a little more on getting your teammates shots as opposed to your own offense.
Right. It is a balance and something that I'm trying to slowly figure out. You know, I think the team needs me to be a playmaker and find guys open for shots and get them some easy looks. At the same time, if I only do that, then that's what the defense starts to guard me for, and then you know, those shots aren't open anymore. So it's definitely a balance.
And for you, this team hasn't obviously had the kind of success they thought they would at this point in the season. From your perspective, what has to change for you guys to kind of really get it going?
You know, I think we need to be connected on both ends. We have moments where we're connected, and for the most part, defensively, I think we're playing okay. I mean, I think we can play a lot better defensively, but that's what's kept us in some games. But I think we got to be more connected offensively. So.
And for you coming off the bench, and you know this franchise, they've got a long history of great players who come off the bench. Do you give any thought to that at all? I mean, just potentially being part of that lineage? I know you've probably been asked about it and talked about it and all that.
No, I really haven't thought about it. You know, I'm trying to worry about how I'm playing when I'm out there on the court and how I need to improve in certain areas. So that's really where my focus is.
All right, Gordon Hayward and A. Sherrod Blakely, good stuff. Sherrod, him coming off the bench, and it sort of makes me think of what Paul Pierce said about sacrifice,
right.
You know, and I know you had a chance to talk to Pierce, and that's going to be key for this team because they got a lot of talent, but some guys are going to have to sacrifice. Maybe it's minutes, maybe it's shots, maybe it's something if they want to get to where they want to go.
And it's so hard for these guys to do it, particularly because unlike Paul and Kevin and Ray, there is not a single player that in this rotation who you can say that he's a Hall of Famer based on what he's done right now.
Right, right.
Those guys, when they came together, they had that going for them. So for them, the idea of sacrificing, it was a lot easier because there literally was nothing else that they could do to show their value in this league. But Tatum is on the rise. Jaylen Brown is on the rise. Kyrie, which is crazy to think that he still has levels he can take his game to. You go down the line and almost, you know, pretty much everyone in their rotation has room to get better as an individual player. And so the balancing act that they have to strike between that individual growth and the growth of the team, which involves sacrifice, I think it's a tough pill to swallow because I'm looking at Jaylen Brown and I'm looking at Tatum, and I just think if I were in their shoes and you're telling me I need to take fewer shots or I need to focus more on defending as opposed to scoring, even though I know the guy guard me can't really guard me. But then I got Kyrie who's clapping for the ball, and it's a lot of stuff that I think gets in the way and makes sacrificing so much harder.
I think it's good that Gordon like sort of stepped up and said, okay, I'm cool with going to the bench. I think it makes it so much easier for the young guys to embrace the fact that they might get shuffled out at some point now. And let's face it, it's been good for Gordon to be able to go be the facilitator on that second unit, see shots go in at times, and just get back to who the player we know he can be. I thought it was telling today at practice, Tyrese said he pulled Gordon aside yesterday, and as much as he's happy to see him, you know, making strides, he knows how valuable he is for the long term. And he said, hey, listen, be selfish out there at times, get your shot, you know, be aggressive. He wants to get Gordon Hayward back to the Gordon Hayward he knows he can be. And that means being back on the first unit and being part of that success. So I think that, you know, good for the short term, a good message to the younger guys. But like Gordon Hayward's, he's gonna find that path to get back to the first unit.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to actually win the title, like Gordon has to
He has to be better than what we've seen. There's no doubt about that. And I think he'll get there because I have to, you know, remind myself that this dude hasn't played in a damn year.
Right.
And he's playing with guys who are different than the guys that he thought he would be playing with as far as what they can do. Because, you know, it's a lot to ask of a guy to play on a different team, have a different role, come off the bench, and I want you to get 20-5. Nah, it doesn't work that way.
All right, guys, let's get out of here. Shout out to Gordon Hayward for the interview with Sherrod. Robert Williams III,
Time Lord,
coming on the Celtics Talk podcast. This is a couple of games back-to-back, then a few days off, and we'll see what they do. For Sherrod Blakely, Chris Forsberg, I'm Kyle Draper. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, any of your favorite podcasting apps. Download that My Teams app as well.
I know the Time Lord has.
The Time Lord is all about the My Teams app. You know that? We'll see you next time on the Celtics Talk podcast.
We out.